the MacBook probably installed the right on the board. And if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to read a few verses in chapter 10 and a few verses in chapter 11. A few verses in chapter 10. Then read from verse 14 of chapter 10, and then from verse 17 of chapter 11. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says, "Therefore, my dear friends," verse 14, 1 Corinthians 10, "flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." And then I scroll down to over chapter 11, verse 17. "In the following directives, I have no praise for you. For your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions." God, I thank you for your word, and as we obey your instruction and accept your invitation, I thank you, God, that you make us worthy and you show us how to do this in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name, amen. So whose supper is it anyway?
The Lord's supper.
But Paul says, did you read it? Did you hear it? He says, your meetings do more harm than good. Imagine that. Your meetings do more harm than good. It's almost you're better off. You would be better off not meeting. And then he says, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. So it's someone else's. It was someone else's supper. But the instruction that he gives takes them back to it being the Lord's supper. Because who gave the instruction? Let me ask this question first. When we see this in whatever form, loaf, wafer, cracker, wine, juice. When you see it, what do you think?
Jesus.
Let me ask this question. Do you receive an instruction or an invitation?
Invitation, actually. That's what I feel.
You feel both. So it's both. It is an instruction and an invitation. It's both. I'm not the host this morning. Jesus is the host. He's the host. So if he says whatever, then I need to submit to that. Now, I believe I've already heard what he said, and that's why I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And I taught on this not so long ago, towards the end of last year, but something we do so often, if we don't realize what we're doing, it will become meaningless and irrelevant. It will become meaningless and irrelevant. If you want to know my sources for this, book I read last year, Remember Jesus by Steve Mottier, and then some teachings from John Piper and from Don Carson, if you want to take anything further. But as Shofar, it changes. We tend to do this on the first Sunday of the month. Now, the first Christmas Day and New Year's Day was Sunday, wasn't it? So the first Sunday of this month, we all met at Jackie's house. So we didn't do this. We could have done this, but we didn't do it then. And I'm just taking the opportunity on the first Sunday of the first month that we're doing this, just to teach and to refocus us what it is we're actually doing and why we actually do it. It's important. Churches do this, different ways, different frequencies, but this is what churches do. And we might not do it on the first Sunday of the month if somebody's getting baptized that day or dedication. It might change, but generally speaking, if you want to prepare yourself for this, and we should. Now, it's the first Sunday of the month that we've done it, and we didn't do it last, so I'm not expecting you to have come prepared today, which is one of the reasons the sermon is going to be that preparation. But prepare yourselves on the first Sunday of the month. This. And if we happen to change it, then we'll be prepared in advance. I'm not going to go to the gospel passages, but if you want to note down the references, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. Paul didn't meet Jesus other than on the road to Damascus. But the disciples did. They received this firsthand. And we don't receive it firsthand, but we receive it as if. And one of the points I taught last sermon I preached on communion or the Lord's Supper was just a focus back on the Passover. The Jewish families, when they did this, had to do it as if they were being led out of Egypt. It wasn't just a remembrance. It was a remembrance, but it wasn't just a remembrance. It was to celebrate the Passover as if you yourself and your family members yourself had been saved. Now there's a few parents in the room, and if our firstborn, or second, or fourth, had been saved, we would know. We would celebrate. We would remember. If God had saved them, we would remember that. That's what the Jewish people had to do when they celebrated the Passover. Celebrate this as if they themselves were coming out of Egypt. And although we receive it second, third, fourth, however many hands down the line, we should receive from Jesus. Not from me, but from Jesus. It's his supper. And he's the reason that we do. And I'm just going to focus on our life. Communication. And on action. Communication and action. This is a communication because Paul writes, it's verse 26. He says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. What's proclamation?
Telling.
It's telling. It's communication. We are proclaiming. And we can do this in front of those who are not saved, because we're telling them that Jesus has saved me. Jesus has saved us. So don't think that when there's those who don't believe, when there's those who are not yet saved, not yet started their process of salvation, don't think you can't do it. We can. It's a proclamation. Even doing this It's something very visible that people who don't go to church know what this represents. Not many. And some might think it's cannibalistic, but even with the misconceptions, they know what we're doing. How do we show somebody who were to walk in, say somebody walks in now, let's say they were here on time, and visitors usually are. How do we show them that God is real? How does what we do on a Sunday show them that God is real? I was going to say in Paris that, let me just think. What have we already done this morning that shows people that God is real? I'm not going to sing, but here's your clue. This shows that God is real.
Because
to whom are we singing? This shows that God is real. Someone may or may not believe it, they have that choice. But this shows them that we're not meeting here because we're the cult of David. That's not why we're here today. If I wasn't here today, this could all be true. I probably asked, will you? Look where he goes. It's not about me or any one person, it's the Lord's Supper. He's the host. And in doing this, we show people that God is real. This communication is a communal communication. How many times did I read the words together? Don't look, just throw out a guess.
10.
Anyone else this side?
7.
Anyone to go higher than 10? Anyone to go lower than 7? Some people practice communion on their own. I never have. And I don't think I ever will. Let me read verse. Your meetings. You don't have a meeting on your own. You have it with other people. Verse 18. When you come together as a church. Now we do this as small groups. We're a small group church. And we encourage people to do this in families as well. That's how the Jewish people celebrated it. And that's what Jesus did with his disciples. It was they were his house. That's how he did it. So do it in your small groups according to your small group leader. Do it in your homes according to the head of the home. And if the head of the home, if you're the only safe person in your family, then ask another saved person to join you and have communion so that you can pray for your family. Do it that way. Because we don't, I see, as far as I see from Scripture, do this alone. Verse 17, verse 18, verse 20. When you come together. Verse 33. So then, when you come together to eat. Verse 34. So that when you meet together. How many?
Five.
If you're giving the answer, give the answer. Five. Five times. Together, 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 together. This is communion. And wherever we go in the world, we can do this. Find somebody else who follows Jesus and do this. Wherever you go in the world. This communication is also covenantal. And so Jesus said, and Paul quotes, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." Covenant, there's a Bible school module on it, read it, there's lots to say, but if you only remember two things about covenant, all-encompassing and forever. Covenant is all-encompassing, there's nothing outside the covenant. We have contracts, which this is inside the contract and this is outside the contract. A covenant doesn't work like that. All-encompassing and forever. It doesn't have a time limit on it. That's how God relates. No other way. It's a covenantal meal. It's significant. It's symbolic. It's spiritual. Something that's symbolic and spiritual is prophetic. When we do this, we are prophesying, proclaiming. There's more, I think, that happens when we do this than I realize. There's more that happens than we realize. So let's just talk a little bit about the action. What kind of actions are there? Maybe a hard question.
Physical?
It's an open question.
Physical?
Spiritual.
Spiritual.
Emotional.
And the mental actions. Okay. Those are the kinds of actions that we can do. So we physically take bread. She's wife. Wash the hands back. We physically take juice. And we
physically
eat it. Eat it. And then we absorb it and it becomes part of us. So it goes into my gut. Look, your gut. It's not part of you. There's a tube down the middle of all of us that isn't part of us. It's part of the outside world. Red wine goes in, and then when it goes into the blood, it becomes part of us. That's when it becomes part of us. That's why we're not what we eat. We are what we absorb. Spiritually, it's true. I can read the whole of this many times over and it doesn't become part of me unless I apply this word. It is not part of me unless I apply it. We can read 1 Corinthians over and over and over and over again, 1 Corinthians 11, over and over and over and over again, and not be changed by it. We can eat and drink this and not be changed by it. If we don't realize what we're doing, that's what will happen. It's a physical act. And churches which have alcoholic wine will often provide non-alcoholic wine. And if There are some who receive that disease, we have leaves and free crackers so that they could also do this because it's physical. We want them to be part of it. I had a friend who, I think he was from one of the Channel Islands, and I don't know if it's true in the mainland as well, but you get cheaper, he had cheaper car insurance because he was teetotal, but he was still allowed to drink communion wine. It was part of the policy. Teetotal, with the exception of communion wine. It's physical. We actually eat and we actually drink. It's mental. What did Jesus say? He said, do this in remembrance of me. So, the significance of this, we focus on the past and then on the present and the future. What Jesus has done, and then go further back to the Passover, we have an understanding, it enriches this that we're going to do because we have an understanding of what Jesus was doing. But he transformed that Passover meal and said, it's not about the Passover cup anymore, it's about me. And then in the present, we actually receive from God. We'll talk a little bit about what we might receive. And then we focus on the future. So Don Carson says, this is participatory and anticipatory. We participate in it. Some churches, people come to the front, we might even do that this morning. But it's also anticipatory. We are focusing on when we no longer will need this. We don't need something to eat and drink to remind us of Jesus because we'll be with Jesus. He's in heaven, so we won't do this in heaven. We won't need it anymore. It's like, something that you need only for a short time. A seat on an aeroplane. You don't contact British Airways and say, can I have that seat in my home? It's something you need just for the journey. You don't need it after the journey. I don't have an emotional attachment to the seat, even if it was a business class flat seat. I wouldn't ask British Airways for it, because I don't need it anymore. I don't need it, it's irrelevant. It's done its job and it's gone. This will have done its job and it will be no more. So, if we're remembering, as we physically eat and drink, we don't just switch off. Because that's not remembering, that's passive, and this is active. Actively remember what Jesus did. Actively remember. And some of you may have seen it in films, but even just go to scripture and read what happened to Jesus. After this meal, until he died. Read it. And then remember that he chose to do it. He knew it was coming, and he chose to do it. And remember not only that he chose to do it, but remember that he chose to do it for you. And then it takes on a significance. If one of us, the parents here, had had a child saved, and that person was from China, and came to London on business every year, and happened while they were in London, or while they were in Malmö, to save one of our children. When they come back, we would remember. We'd look at that person and remember what they had done. It's like that. When we look at this, and when we touch it, and when we eat it, and even afterwards, when we absorb it, remember what Jesus did. We look back and we remember what he did. And something John Piper said is, it's not just this. Because some churches believe that this becomes the body of Christ, transubstantiation. These become the body of Christ. We don't. But in not believing that, we cannot say that it's not spiritual. Because if we say it's physical and mental, John Piper says, The devil can do that. The devil can give himself a body so that he can eat. The devil can remember Jesus. It's more than that. This is something that only people who have been made alive in their spirits can do. It is spiritual. So something spiritual is about to happen. In the same way that something spiritual happens when someone's baptized, something spiritual happens. Actual water, physically, and they're thinking about it, which is why we ask the questions that we ask. But something spiritual happens. And when we eat and drink, something spiritual happens. What happens? What happens?
You have a connection. The connection with God is established. Yeah.
It is established. It's reinforced.
Yes.
We remember that our sins have been forgiven. And we have that connection, not just with God, but also with people. That's what happens. We're a spiritual family. And this is a symbol of Christian unity. This symbolizes our unity. That's why we do it together. When we do this, we do it together. It's a good time to repent and forgive. Because you can hold a grudge with someone, against someone, whilst eating a meal with them, but it's tamar, it's not so pleasant a meal. The food might be good, but I've been asked a few questions. Going to restaurants where you don't usually go because of their price bracket, and someone pops a question, the food doesn't taste good anymore. If repentance and forgiveness is needed, and it always will be. It always will be. It's a good time. This is a good time to do that. What do we have spiritually? Maybe you don't know quite where I'm coming from. What are we given?
Gifts.
Gifts. So the gifts of the Father, gifts of the Son, gifts of the Spirit. We're given peace and joy and security and safety. We're given healing and victory and guidance. We're given hope. We're given freedom. Read through Scripture and see what is it. When we do this, we remember those gifts. And you can receive again any of those gifts. Or anew any of those gifts. When someone's baptized, they clothe themselves in Christ. Galatians 3:27. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's a spiritual clothing. If I was to wear a diamond studded jacket, you would notice.
Well, for sure.
And we notice if someone, Jesus is worth more than a diamond. He has more impact than a diamond. That's what happens in baptism. Now, spiritually, something happens. It may not be as dramatic, but it's as significant. It may lose some of its significance because we do it monthly as a congregation and then additional times as well. But we shouldn't allow it to lose its significance. We praise and worship every time we get together. And it can lose its significance because of that. We need to refocus on what's important. This is one of the things that is important to us. And that is why we do it. And the reason that's important to us is because it's important to Jesus. And he invites and instructs. Now look, there's some verses towards the end that we don't always read because they're quite harsh. Verse 27. If we eat or drink in an unworthy manner, we sin. Now, some people think that means they can't join in. Some saved people think. But it's not the worth of the person. It's the manner in which, the worth of the manner in which we eat and drink. If we just think this is just physical, maybe throw in a few thoughts of remembrance. That's an unworthy manner. I'll eat and I'll drink from the other things of that. That's an unworthy manner. But it's not our worth. Jesus makes us worthy. So Don Carson says, and Steve Mochu, I think, as well, both of them probably. I think Don Carson, definitely. It doesn't matter if the Israelite head of the house was unsure whether it would make any difference when they put the blood on the doors. What matters is whether they did it. So don't think, because I've sinned this morning, I'm not worthy. Don't think that. It's the manner in which we come. If you're aware of your sin, that's a good thing. But then what do we do with that sin? This spiritual, forgiveness of sins is spiritual. And it's time to say, Jesus, I receive now forgiveness for my sin of whatever it is. Because you knew when you chose to go to the cross, and when you chose to go to the cross for me, you knew about that sin this morning, or last night, or last week. He knew, and he still chose. So now is the time to receive forgiveness for that sin, if you have not already received forgiveness for that sin. That's the spiritual thing that happens. The connection and the forgiveness. That's just two more. I mean, there's a whole load of others as well, but think on those two. Spiritually, we establish and reinforce this connection with our host, the head of the family, and each other, and receive forgiveness from sin. Don't let your awareness of your sin stop you doing this morning. We are unworthy in and of ourselves, but Jesus makes us worthy. Verse 29. Whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord does what? Brings what on the table? If we do not recognize the body and blood of the Lord, now that has two meanings. Recognize Jesus, that he's the host here, that we're remembering him. But it also, I believe, means the body. If I think that I can treat my leader terribly, think bad thoughts about them, say bad things about them, even if I don't get the strength to do bad things, I'm not recognizing the body and blood of the Lord, because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We have to recognize that body, which is another reason why I think we should do this together and not alone. We have to recognize the body. And then verse 30, it kind of gets worse. Sin, self-judgment, sickness, and sleep. Not the good sleep. Dead. That kind of bad sleep. That is why, because people drank and ate without recognizing the Lord's body, that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. These are harsh words. This is why we don't always read them. We don't want to go there. We don't want to talk about sinning by doing something in church. We don't want to talk about bringing judgment on ourselves by doing something in church. We have to do it worthily, in a worthy manner, recognizing the body and blood of the Lord. And Paul, what Don Carson says, is often Paul will write to the Corinthians and he'll say to them, yes, that's right, but. You need to add this in. Yes, you're right, but. And he says this, he doesn't do that. Remember how he started? Your meetings do more harm than good. I have no praise for you. There's no yes. Because that's what they were doing. So the context was that the rich people could afford to come early. And I didn't know this, Dr. Carson, they used to work on a 10-day week. So you might well be working on the day the church gets together. Thank God most of us don't need to. Thank God for Sundays, because it's a day when we can still get together. Most of us don't need to. Some of us do. But the rich people could afford not to work and would bring lots of food and drink. Drink what can get you drunk. And then the poor people would come later. And Don Carson goes on to say the slaves would come even later and have no food. So some people are drunk and other people are going hungry. That's why it's doing more harm than good. It's bringing division. The very meal that's supposed to be the symbol of unity was actually bringing division. That's why he doesn't mince his words. A number of you have fallen asleep. He says, verse 32, when we are judged by the law, we're being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned with the world. Have you ever thought about that? God will take someone's life away, their earthly life, as discipline, so that they're not condemned. So that they don't lose their spiritual life. Because of what happens here. He says, anyone amount we ought to examine ourselves, but anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why, that judgment is why many of you are weak and sick. If you're feeling weak, or if you're feeling sick, it might be that you're not recognizing the body and blood of the Lord. Recognizing your complete dependence on Jesus. And recognizing our dependence on each other. Because where's Jesus? I mean, he's here, he's the host, but where's his new body? It's something else. If we judged ourselves, we would not commit adultery. When we are judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. I don't fully understand it, but what I know is I need to do this in a worthy manner. Not just another time without communion. A worthy manner, otherwise I'm sinning. I need to recognize the Lord. Because if I don't do that, then I bring judgment on myself. And if I bring judgment on myself, I can end up weak, sick, or dead. I don't want to do that. I don't want any of us to do that. Which is why I read to the end of the chapter. I'm going to stop. And give us some time just to examine ourselves. Someone, a man or woman, want to examine himself, herself before, and then we're going to eat and drink. So remember, we're going to do the physical and the mental and receive the spiritual that God has for us. Thank you.